We've been reading through the New Testament. We're entering now the third month of 3 months. And I don't commend to you read my column during my sermon, but I would commend to you at some point, if you've not read my column in the bulletin, to read the column. And I talk some about this reading project. One of the things I would commend to you, maybe if you faltered at some point and you're not reading now, pick back up. That's why we put the dates on here. Just pick up with April the 2nd and start reading again and continue to read. We've been reading, among the books we've read in the last week is Galatians. And I want to preach this morning something from the book of Galatians. It seems to me that a key part of understanding the book of Galatians and a thread that runs through the book of Galatians is that Paul is saying, be sure that you are willing to claim the cross of Jesus. You may remember that in the book of Acts chapter 10, Peter has a vision in which he is shown foods that normally for a Jew you could not eat, unclean foods. And God says to him, kill it and eat it. And Peter's not so sure, and so it takes a while. He's a little slow on the uptake. Little slow, really not the uptake, but just a willingness to download the message, if you want to speak in computer terms. He does not want to accept that message. Oh, I've never done that kind of thing. Lord, how could you tell me to do something like that? That's a whole different idea than what I've ever known before. And then there's this knock on the door of the house where he's staying. And he ends up meeting this Gentile named Cornelius, who is interested in knowing more about God. And Peter, really, his first inclination is, I don't want to have anything to do with those Gentiles, especially one that is a Roman officer, and the Romans are the ones occupying our country. And I want nothing to do with them. And God has shown a vision to Cornelius and to Peter to anticipate the arrival of Cornelius. Gentiles are part of this too, just like you are. And Peter teaches those Gentiles. And yet, when you get to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11, and I think this really gets at the heart of why Paul stresses embrace the cross. Because in chapter 2, verse 11 of Galatians, he speaks of Cephas. That is another name for Simon Peter, the same guy in Acts chapter 10. And it says that Cephas goes to Antioch. And what Acts tells us about Antioch is that is the first place that it is very clear that this Christian movement is not just a segment of Judaism. And that's why Luke will say it is at Antioch that they first called them Christians. Because Gentiles are becoming followers of Jesus. And Cephas, Simon Peter, comes to this place where all of these Gentiles are becoming Christians. It is a Gentile-dominant church. But it says Peter is not the only one who comes. In verse 12, it says some men from James, from Jerusalem, have come up to Antioch too. And they are of the circumcision party or segment. And what that means is they are saying Gentiles, to be good Christians, also have to be circumcised. And it says, verse 13, that Cephas is so influential, and these men from James are so put so much pressure on, that it says even Barnabas is led astray by these men. In verse 14, Paul confronts them all and says, "This is not in step with the gospel." This message, the gospel message, is for Gentile, and it's not on the basis of circumcision. And I think if you read this letter closely, his point is not that circumcision is asking too much, it's asking too little. What Paul is afraid of is they will stop at circumcision and they will not claim the cross of Jesus. Amen. That was a unique amen, but a good one. The book of Galatians calls us to claim the cross. Go back to chapter 1 of Galatians, verse 4. Notice how Paul begins. Now, he doesn't use the word cross, but he's talking about the cross. And he says in chapter 1, verse 4, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. That's the cross. He gave himself for our sins. Why? To rescue us. To save us. To deliver us, mine says, from this present age. Jesus died on the cross and brought forgiveness of our sins to rescue us from thinking about what it means to live as a human being here on earth in the same way that most other people do. This is saying Jesus came so that we would claim the cross, and in claiming the cross, we will begin to look at our world like Jesus does, rather than like our neighbors do, or like the people on the radio do, or like the people on the TV do, or the computer do. What is our source of information? What is our source of understanding who we are as we live here in this world? What is our source of understanding about how we treat other people and how we look at other people? It's to claim the cross. That is what should inform us if we are disciples of Jesus Christ. He gave himself to save us from this present evil age. Do you remember in chapter 2, verse 14, Paul, when he confronts them, says, "You are not in step with the gospel when you're trying to set qualifications for these Gentiles that God has not set." And that's why in chapter 1, verse 6, Paul will say, "I am alarmed that you are accepting, that you are listening to a different gospel," as if there could be such a thing. And that, in a sense, chapter 1, verse 6, when he speaks of a different gospel, it's a way of saying, you are refusing to embrace the cross. Chapter 2, verse 19 of Galatians. Paul says, "I died to the law." What he means by that is the law of Moses, and in particular circumcision, and demanding that of the Gentiles. "I died to the law," why? "So that I could live to God." What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? Embrace the cross and live to God, live toward God. That's the idea there in verse 19. And it's at that point that Paul speaks the words that may be very familiar to you, because there's actually a song, a Christian song, that comes from chapter 2, verse 20. In which that song says, be sure you claim the cross. Paul says, "I've been crucified. I've been crucified with Christ," he said. I've been crucified with Christ. And what that means is it's not that I literally get nailed to a cross like Jesus was. It is that I no longer live. I've died so I can claim the cross of Jesus. I've died. And I no longer live. It is Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, remember that word flesh. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. I'm claiming the cross. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And He gave Himself for me that I would claim the cross, that I would be crucified with Him, that I wouldn't live for me anymore, but I would live for others. Chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says, I think you're acting in the Galatian churches, you're acting as though somebody's cast a spell on you. Who cast a spell on you? He says. And he calls them back to remember what they first heard when they obeyed the gospel. He says, wasn't it portrayed right before your very eyes? The cross? Isn't that what was preached to you? That Christ was portrayed as the one who was crucified. So claim that cross. If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, you're going to be somebody's disciple. I hope you'll be a disciple of Jesus. You're going to be following after and learning from somebody. I hope it'll be Jesus, and I hope it'll be His cross. Chapter 3, in verse 10. Paul says, cursed be anyone who does not do all the things written in the book of the law. And he's talking about the law of Moses, the Old Testament law. And he's actually quoting there from Deuteronomy, the blessings and the cursings at the end of Deuteronomy, chapter 27, verse 26. That if you obey God, there are all these blessings that God will put upon you, Israel, bring to you, Israel. But if you disobey God, there's all these curses that will... It's in that context that Paul is quoting Deuteronomy 27, verse 26, in chapter 3, verse 10 of Galatians. And he says in chapter 3, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by being that curse for us. We who have not kept all those things, Jesus did keep all of those things. How did he redeem us from that curse of the law? By becoming the curse for us. That's a way of talking about the cross. In fact, he applies Deuteronomy 21, verse 23 to the cross. Cursed be anyone hanged on a tree. Chapter 5, verse 24. The book of Galatians. He says, those who belong to Jesus. Now, just time out here for a minute. We're assembled here this morning as the Church of Christ. Christ's Church. Do you think we ought to pay attention to what it means to be Christ's? And I think that's what Galatians is telling us. That one of the things we will do if we are Christ's church is we will claim the cross. Because that's who we're following, Jesus, who embraced the cross and calls us to embrace that cross. And in verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. When he uses the word flesh, one way to think about that is it's the fleshly way, the worldly way, the common way of thinking about this world. and what raises the passions. And he says, we crucify that. We die to that. Why? Because we've been crucified that Christ might live in us. And the life that I now live in the flesh, 2:20, I live by faith in the Son of God. Verse 24 is the end verse of a section, though. If you back up to verse 19, he makes a list here. And it's not an all-encompassing list. And the reason I say that is, if you read the last verse in this first part of this, he says, and the like. He says, the works of the flesh are evident. Fornication, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And then he brings up the counterpart to that, verse 22. But the fruit, singular, you notice that? Singular, it's not fruits, it's fruit. The produce, the product of the Spirit. The Spirit's fruit, product. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, and peace, and patience, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Doesn't our world need some of that? Doesn't our world need me to live that? And doesn't our world need you to be that? How is that ever going to happen? Well, it's not our work. It's not our product. It's not our fruit. It's the Spirit's. But do we have a part in that? That verse I pointed you to a moment ago is verse 24, I think, is the key in understanding that. How is our world ever going to experience love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control in me? It is if I am willing to embrace the cross, to claim the cross. Isn't that what verse 24 is saying? Claim the cross if you want the Spirit to bear the fruit that is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control in your life. If you want that to start showing up in your life, do what verse 24 says, and that is claim the cross. Those things will start showing up in my life and your life when I start living the crucified life. I grew up on a farm. One of the important things to do if you want to make a crop is you got to do some cultivation, soil preparation. I would suggest to you verse 24 is soil preparation. You want the Spirit to bring a crop in your life of joy, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You want that to happen? Do some cultivation. And that soil is cultivated as you who belong to Christ Jesus crucify the flesh, the worldly, normal way of looking at our world. Claim the cross, and the Spirit's fruit will begin to appear in your life. Final chapter, chapter 6 of Galatians. He talks about circumcision. Remember, that's the issue back in chapter 2 where he confronts Cephas. Circumcision. And I think what he's telling us is that his problem with this circumcision issue is it's really asking just a little too little. It's not asking enough. You circumcise these Gentiles, and then maybe he's afraid they're going to assume they're done. That's enough. God doesn't want just outward, at some kind of outward sign. God wants us to be transformed. For the sake of this world, He wants us to be transformed into a different kind of people. And so in verses 12 and 13, He says they're concerned because somebody's going to put pressure on them to be circumcised. That's no reason to be circumcised. The real issue here, He says in verse 14, the real issue, chapter 6, verse 14, is far be it from me to boast except in the cross. Now I'll claim the cross. The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything or uncircumcision, but here's what counts: a new creation. When we claim the cross, we become a part of God's new creation. And that's why people in this world, because we're a new creation, that's why they begin to see that fruit that the Spirit bears in our lives. And they say, you know, there's something different here in this world. Well, how do we claim the cross, and why do we even want, why is it important to talk about this morning? Well, one of the things is we live in a world where there's a lot of fear. Isn't there? Fear of refugees. Fear of race. Fear of economics. If you claim the cross, you won't live in fear. You live in faith. Do you understand that in the Bible, the flip side of fear is faith? And any time we begin to act on fear, and what is driving our way of looking at things is fear, that's an indicator that faith has failed. Do we really believe there is a God? Do we really have faith that there is a God? Then that should push fear to the side. Will we be a people of faith or fear? If we claim the cross, we will be a people of faith, not fear. Will we be a people of love or hate? Let's see, what is it that Jesus taught? I'm trying to remember that. Hate your enemies. Isn't that what He said? Thank you. Did Jesus say, hate your enemies? Now, you might would think that just listening to people sometimes. Are there people that really are enemies of Christians? Yes. Yeah, but if you love your enemies, they may kill you. Yeah. Yeah. Ask Jesus. Ask Jesus about that. Would your enemies like to kill you? Jesus, who taught us to love our enemies, how do his enemies treat him? They may kill you. Yeah. I don't like that idea. But if I'm going to claim the cross, I may have to get used to that idea. If we're going to be the church of Christ, would it be a good idea to listen to what He teaches? What is the first fruit listed of the Spirit? Love. That's not by accident, folks. Love. Is Jesus asking us to do something hard? Yeah. And if somebody says no to that answer, they'll lie to you about other things too. But if we are willing to claim the cross, we will love our enemies. I don't know how many of you have heard of Phil Robertson. Last show of the Duck Dynasty series was last week. That show is about Phil Robertson and his family. They live in West Monroe, Louisiana. You may or may not have ever watched that show. I've read his biography. There was a time in his life in which he was estranged from his wife. They were separated, and he was living an ungodly, immoral life. And he wanted nothing to do with God. But some Christians loved him. And he eventually became a Christian. And he was baptized into Christ, and he was reconciled with his wife. If you look on the website for the Whites Ferry Road Church of Christ in Louisiana, he's one of their elders now. There was a time in his life when the way he provided for his family, both what they put on the table and what money they made, was by fishing the Ouachita River, catching fish, selling the fish, and he had these nets out to catch these fish. And he said, he says, I'm a redneck, but he says, lower than the redneck is the river rat. And he said the river rats were coming and taking the fish out of his nets. And by doing that, they were taking the food off the table of his family and his livelihood. And he caught some of them, taking the fish out of his nets after he became a Christian. And he said the first thing that came to him was, Jesus said, love your enemies. And he said, I don't know about that. But he said, okay, I'm going to try it. And so he confronted those guys who were taking his fish. And he said, those are my nets. And those guys tried to act like they said, your nets? Oh. And he said, here's what I'm going to do. All the fish in that net you can take with you. And he said they took the fish, but they quit taking the fish out of his nets after that. How is this world ever going to change unless we change? How is this world ever going to change unless we claim the cross of Jesus and take Him seriously and get serious about being the church of Christ, Christ's church? Disciples of Him, learning from Him, following Him, and things like loving your neighbor, your enemy. There's enemies for us to love, you know, that'll hate us just because of our faith, and we need to love them, don't we? If we're going to be the church of Christ, don't we?